In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. There is a reason why today's reading on the eighth day of Easter is from the first chapter of John, and why we read it nearly every single week when we don't have a requiem, a hokehonkist. It's our gospel of dismissal. Because this gospel of John, the prologue it's called, is cinematic and profound in its view. It's like in the beginning of any great movie, right? When they have this wide aerial shot which shows you the whole wide picture and then it zooms in for a close shot. And in his introduction, John gives us a wide angle story of God and his relationship with humanity. And then he zooms in to the focal point, we believe, of all of history, Jesus' incarnation and his crucifixion and his resurrection. This is the entire story of God and life itself, and it's an unfolding drama in which you and I actually are called to play roles so that we might be most fulfilled in this life if we choose to. And so to help you get a sense for how grand and cinematic this prologue is that we tend to take for granted because we've heard it so much, I want you to recall a time in your life when you suddenly came upon a great and beautiful view, like a landscape, let's say, that you didn't expect, or a house or a beautiful building that you weren't expecting. I can give you two examples to help you. I still remember the day when Yeriskin Anna and I packed up our worldly possessions into a U-Haul and drove from St. Narcissus Seminary to Pinellas Park for the first time, now almost 17 years ago. And so after a couple days on the road, we passed through South Tampa, and we're like, okay, it's all right. And then we emerged onto the Howard Franklin Bridge, and the sun was setting. And suddenly we were surrounded by this brilliant, shining expanse of Tampa Bay with blues and grays and yellows and pinks. And it was breathtaking, and we felt like we had arrived. And here's another one. This one's from Armenia in the year 2000. We had gone to the airport to pick up new volunteers to the Armenian Volunteer Corps, Antoine and Sheila. And as usual in Armenia, the flights come in at an ungodly hour. It was 4 a.m. And by the time we left the airport, though, the sun was just coming up. And our driver, he looked into his rearview mirror and he said, "Look behind you." And suddenly, Mount Ararat was revealed in all its majesty, rising out of nowhere from the flatlands below it. And Antoine, our volunteer, he made the driver stop the car. He kneeled on the ground and he wept at the sight of it. The prologue of St. John's Gospel is like that. It's the majestic story of God that it reveals is every bit as breathtaking. And if we're paying attention, we will be stunned by the mysterious beauty of the presence of God in Christ that emerges from it so that we'll want to kneel on the ground and weep. Here's how it begins, and you've heard it many times. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And in the beginning is, of course, loaded language, biblical language. Everyone who hears that says we're talking about Genesis, when God, the poet, the author, began everything. And John wants us to know that the story he writes and the story that we're in partakes of this one oldest origin story. That the only reason that anything exists in life is because God loved it into existence. He made it out of his love and grace. And God, somehow like an artist, delights in marrying spirit to matter, forming flowers and birds and animals and his masterpiece, men and women. And more astonishingly, God's creation, and especially us as its overseers, were works in progress. And so, over this thing that we call history now, he sends signs and priests and prophets and laws to form us But then the special time comes where he wants to reform us with his great grace, and he sends his Son as example. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And we've talked a little bit about this Word. Jesus is called the Word, and whole libraries full of books are written on that one word, which is logos in Greek, which is bon in ancient Armenian. But simply and profoundly, Jesus is called the Word because words, just like for us, they make visible and tangible what's invisibly in our hearts, in our minds. And Jesus makes visible and tangible what's in God's, the Father's heart and in his mind. And as you know from Holy Week, and as John continues to say, the world wasn't ready for this love. The world wasn't ready for this light. It preferred darkness instead. Sin, hatred, and death. But now here comes the real surprise, the unexpected turn to see the dazzling Tampa Bay or Mount Ararat. John says that though the Son of God is rejected by many, there are those who do accept him. And to those he has given the right to become sons and daughters of God. And I think what this means, it means a lot, but it certainly means that whoever you are and whatever you've done, something unexpected can happen to you in this life, which is out of nowhere and will give you a glimpse into the heavens. A glimpse of the grace and truth of God. And more than just a glimpse, we're always invited to gaze on the person of Christ, to abide in his presence. That's why we come to worship every day. That's why we believe in a life of service, following him. Because we believe that sort of what you see and gaze upon is eventually what you become with God's help, renewed and redeemed children of the resurrection. And so after John's sublime introduction, he goes on to tell us in detail, step by step, if you will, and read that Gospel of John, it's beautiful, how we might play our part in this great unfolding drama of God's work in the world, of his dawning kingdom. And as unbelievable as it seems, this great drama is actually a play which is in search of actors. There are parts for everyone, you and me included, but we have to accept them. And these parts we play, by the way, they're as varied, I think, as individuals are varied, with unique talents and with unique limitations and with unique blessings. And there's great drama and excitement in how our story plays out, because God seems to, again, respect the diversity and free will of his creatures, and he loves the artistry of it. But there's one thing we can be absolutely sure of as we behold John's sublime prologue to his gospel on this, the eighth day of Easter, Gyknazatik, or Nordkiraki. Whatever life may present us, its ups and downs, its excitements, its boredoms, its trials, at heart there's only one driving theme and driving force of our lives, and that's God made us in self-giving love, and we're to respond to him and others in kind. And if we hold this as our highest priority, as we play our unique part in this great drama, I think we'll turn a corner one day to behold the shockingly beautiful glory of God himself, revealed by his Son, the Word, full of grace and truth, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.